If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Chicago, 2011. A cop is murdered. Police and prosecutors swear they have the trigger man. He swears he didn't do it. How far will each side go to prove they're right?
Like it's just one bombshell after another, you know, where you're like, what?
The story of a PlayStation, a brain-eating amoeba, and the relentless pursuit of justice. Off Duty, out now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Hannah Berner from Giggly Squad. Have you ever put on a bra that makes you feel like a goddess? Prepare to be obsessed with the Dream Angels Wicked Bra from Victoria's Secret, the iconic brand behind the world's most comfortable bras. And I only wear the most comfortable bras. The bestseller features an innovative sling for perfect lift without padding, and the fit is chef's kiss. Awaken your inner goddess with new colors and super femme lace embroidery. Find out why this bra has thousands of five-star reviews and counting. Shop it in stores and online at victoriassecret.com.
Howdy, howdy, ho, and welcome to Fantasy Fan Fellas. I'm Hayden, producer of the Fantasy Fangirls podcast and your resident lover of all things Sanderson.
And I'm Steven, your bookish internet goofball, but you can call me the Smash Daddy.
And we are currently deep diving Brandon Sanderson's fantasy epic, Mistborn. But here's the catch. Steven here has not read Mistborn before.
That's right, hey. So each week, you'll get my unfiltered, raw reactions to every single chapter.
And along the way, we'll do character deep dives, magic explainers, and Steven will even try to guess what's next. Spoiler alert, he'll be wrong.
Newsflash, I'm never wrong. Episodes come out every Wednesday, and you can find Fantasy Fan Fellas wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Psych Legal Pop podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
And I'm Tess Brigham. I'm the therapist.
And today we're going to be talking about Seeking Sister Wife, Season 6, Episode 9. I knew this conversation was coming. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay.
So that was the... Was that from the Davises? I thought it was from the Johnsons.
Because
I don't know. Who knows? Someone
who
said
are
it.
The Johnson? Wait, the Johnsons.
The Johnsons.
Oh yeah, yeah, the Johnson family. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry. Well, let's start with the Johnsons, because before we started recording, one of our listeners, one of our Patreon members, Christy, sent us some info. So Brooke, break it down, because you said it much better than I did.
Well, okay. So there's somebody on Reddit who is claiming to be Angelica's sister. Now, obviously, there's no way to verify this, but from what she was saying, it seemed pretty credible. But basically, basically, Angelica is bisexual and she's in a relationship with Shanae as well. So it's a polyamorous relationship. This, I think they call it a closed triad. So, you know, it's just the three of them, and, which makes, would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Of how upset. I mean, we, this whole time we've been trying to figure out, like, why is Angelica, like, why can't they just be friends? And now it's sort of like, oh, okay. Okay. Got it.
Right. And also, why have they, why have they been trying so long, you know, trying for 3 years to make this work and whatnot. So, and also the sister said that TLC, I mean, they know this, and I'm sure that the same situation with the Davises, because people have said that the, that April and Jenny, you know, are with each other too, that, you know, it's all, they're also a polyamorous family. But TLC doesn't want to focus on that. They just want to focus on this sister wives angle and pretending that this is polygamy. And I think it is polygamy for some couples. Not all the couples are polyamory couples. So that makes sense too. I mean, you know, when this show first started, I mean, this is the sixth season.
Yeah.
It's been on for a while. A lot has changed. So like when they first started the show, maybe they didn't think that a show about polyamory would work or be too much, too controversial. And then eventually they did make that polyamory, polyfamily about polyamory. But they had to kind of pull it early after just, I don't know, what was it, six episodes?
Well, I think they only had six episodes, but I think that it was, but they... they obviously didn't get a second season because all that stuff came out about Sean. And I think no matter what, you can't get past Sean's past behavior.
His allegations. Yeah. So maybe they'll try to bring it back with another poly family. But
then the question is like, so even if they do decide, let's separate the two, let's do the poly side and let's do the polygamy side. Do you think, how do you think the audience would feel if then the Davises are like, well, guess what? We're not on this side. We're on the other side. I mean, I do wonder too, if they've kind of painted themselves into a corner a bit with some of these families, because I can see how people would be a little bit like, okay, wait, you've been lying to us. Okay. Now this is really the relationship, or this is supposed to be real, you know, supposed to be real.
Well, have the Davises ever come out and said, oh, you know, April and Jenny, you know, that they're not involved with each other. I don't think they've explicitly ever said that.
I don't think they've ever said anything either way.
Yeah, you're right. They have not addressed it. They've never talked about it. So they haven't been lying necessarily.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
So.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah. I think that thing about the boom boom room is made up. I don't think anyone goes in there.
You think that's a guest room?
Yeah. Or it's a picture of a room that's not even in their house. They just got a stock photo off the internet. Because like, I don't think if they've ever gone in there and shown us with a camera. We just see like a picture of it.
No, we've gone in. I think that we've seen the room. I mean, but again, it's a very sterile room. It's like a bed with a dresser. I mean, it's second only to like a porn set. I mean, it's not at all like there's I didn't notice anything, no art on the walls. It's not personalized.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. We started with the Johnson family. So let's start there, because this was pretty much one scene or two scenes essentially.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Because, the thing with the train when she walked away, that was last week, right? Yeah, okay. So last week, basically, Shanae broke up with them.
Yeah.
And she found out that not only did Matt not tell her, but, you know, about going on this one date, but that Angelica went and met the woman and she didn't tell her anything. So
it's a double betrayal. And then Matt says to Angelica, well, yeah, that was not for you to tell Shanae about the date. But now that I understand the relationship better, isn't it Angelica's place? Because what I assume that Shanae is thinking, oh, this woman's going to come in and replace me in both relationships? I mean, right? That's the question.
Yeah. Yeah. So he comes back from the sad train incident and he tells Angelica that Shanae broke up with them. Mm-hmm. Angelica's very sad. Did she ask, is there any chance to get her back? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She was like, oh, is there any chance? And he's like, no. No. I mean, he really was like, nope, not going to happen.
He's so emotionless. It's hard to tell. Is he sad? You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of always the same. But she says, you know, this was 3 years. It meant a lot. And, you know, they had this vision of what they wanted. And they will try again to get another quote unquote sister wife. And Angelica's really hurting. She likes to have the community. And then another thing that the sister said on Reddit, I think the sister's name is Chastity. I might have read this somewhere else. Or no. And did Angelica say this? God, I'm so confused. Anyway, her sister, Chastity, knows about her bisexuality, but
yes.
her mom and her aunts do not know, and they would not approve of it.
Yes.
And that's why they don't know. And Angelica would really like to open up to her family.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that.
Yeah, well, and she has to, because this is going to be on television soon, and they have one more episode to shoot, so we need a little bit more content, and I think it was one of those things of like, listen, you're going to have to tell these people anyway, and we need more content from you guys, so you're going to have to do this.
That'll be
camera.
Interesting. Yeah, because I kind of got the feeling like this was it, like this
yeah,
is the last time
so did
we're going to see them, but maybe not.
No, we'll they see. Were going to, they got to keep, this loop has not been closed yet
okay.
with the Johnsons, so... We shall see. All right. Where do you want to go next?
All right. Well, how about we go to the bar with Reese and Randy?
Yes. This was very interesting. Yes. This little dynamics. Things are changing. And, you know, the more I think about Billie Jean, the more I just, the embryo privilege, all of it. She just pisses me off. She really does.
Yeah. Because when the rubber hits the road here.
Yeah.
And she sees this other woman openly flirting with
and liking
Reese.
Him liking
yeah.
Reese really
yeah
yeah
and I mean I'm assuming this Randy is real and she's mm-hmm. not just pretending but yeah they are fully flirting. They go to this bar and they're waiting for Billie Jean to arrive and they just start talking about sex, like what's the craziest place you've ever had sex.
Yeah, I thought this was really weird, these sets of questions that they were asking each other. I'm like, did TLC say you only can ask sex questions? Like, if you're getting to know someone, this is where you're starting. You just were at a playground. And now you're here and you're sitting down and you're going to ask 20 questions. Like, do you even know, like, anything else about each other?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's like craziest place you've ever had sex and craziest sexual position. And it's just like, oh, God, really? I find this hard to believe that this is not typical.
Yeah.
Date
that's
talk, is
saying.
It?
I don't know how real is this? What are the chances of Reese, who just was mortified after that first date,
mm-hmm.
goes on a second date and it just goes so swimmingly and this woman is so into him? I just don't know. And yeah, and then the sex talk. And so Reese says the craziest place he's ever had sex is at the foot of the bed.
Yeah. So that's a joke. That's a reference. What it's from a movie or a TV show. Oh God. It'll come to me. Yeah, I think it's like on a TV show. Mm. I can't remember it right now, but it sounds very familiar. Like I've heard it before.
Yeah, and then he takes it a step further and says that because then she asks him about his favorite sexual position,
mm-hmm.
and then he's like, oh, well, I don't, and it gets kind of flustered. He's like, well, I can tell you, I don't like reverse cowgirl.
Who, I mean, I love all these people. There was all this whole thing too on Real Housewives of Orange County, which somehow I'm still watching. I don't know why, but they were talking about reverse cowgirl. I'm like, you know what? No one's doing this unless you're doing porn. I'm sorry. Not on a regular basis.
I think people are. Well, apparently they're talking about it.
I guess so. But then he's like, well, I don't, but he doesn't like it because things aren't lining up. I'm like, what's the problem here, Reese? Like, why can't you get lined up?
I kind of understand what he's saying. It's, you just, maybe that he didn't get the right angle. needs to just work on the angling of it. You know, Reese is kind of vanilla in bed. Yes. So this is hard for him.
Oh my God. But watching these two talk about reverse cowgirl at this thing, I'm just like, oh God.
And they're giddy. Ugh. They're both giddy having this conversation.
Yes.
Like
yes. Super
like
giddy.
Teenagers. Yeah.
Like, it's like, is this the first time you guys had alcohol ever?
Oh, yeah, they didn't even finish half of their, you know, first drink before they got to all of this. I mean, this was just, I couldn't believe what I was watching. So then BJ arrives and she really brings down the mood.
Well, but Reese then says, which I guess maybe he thought this would be a nice thing to say, but I think maybe it bothered Billie Jean a little bit more, which is like, you guys are very similar. He says, you guys, there's a lot of similarities between, you know, the energy of Randy and Billie Jean. And so then Billie Jean sits down and she's like, oh, well, do you want to know all of the, you know, you want to get all of the tea, don't you? All the tea on Reese. And then Reese makes this joke of like, or the D.
Yes, and, again, where is this coming from? Reese led us to believe. I don't believe he's vanilla in bed.
No, I do too. But this is the thing. I think this is his kind of very like, oh, look at me, I'm being naughty. Like, this is his humor. I really do think this is his humor. I think Billie Jean is like, oh, crap. And Randy's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, wait a second. This guy that I thought I had all of power and the control over.
Yeah.
Who I thought worshipped me can actually meet someone kind of similar to me and actually is probably going to be nicer to him than I've been.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This, I mean, the look on her.
Yeah.
Billie did no inner work before she decided to get on the show. She did not at all even stop for 1 second and really ask herself, what would happen if I felt jealous?
Yeah. Like
she really, I think everyone in one ear out the other.
Yeah, no, she realized very quickly that this is not what she was expecting.
No.
Yeah. And, you know, Randy confirms that she just really wants a partner to help her raise her kids.
Yes. Yeah. And it's funny too, because Reese is, it's almost a little bit like, yeah, she has all these kids. And I mean, I think that's what Billy's starting to see of like, oh, wait a second. He really liked, oh, he's enjoying this. Like, oh no. So, did she say this or did she say that she's starting to get jealous? She's happy that they're getting along, but why she says, did she say this or this is what I said to myself, which is why is this so easy for you? I think that was the other part of it too, was that this was the joke. It was so hard for you. You have no moves. You're this, you're that. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. No, he's not.
Yeah. So. And then Randy starts asking BJ about their sex life.
Mm-hmm.
What she said, does he just lay there?
Yeah.
And then BJ says he will if you let him. And I think that was a joke. And then she said, no, he knows he, I don't know. I couldn't understand some of this dialogue.
Yeah.
What was said after that? I thought she said he just needs to get fucked. I don't know.
Wait, what? I remember
that. Or he just needs to get something.
Mm.
I couldn't make out what she said. Did you write that down?
No, because they were all talking over each other at one point, and it was you could not hear that. But I didn't hear that. But I mean, maybe that's why I'm wondering if they really said this or not. But there is an interview
Randy's
with
Randy's joking. Obviously, she's trying to joke with her, and BJ, I think, is maybe not getting it. She's she's not the like. She's not like a funny person.
No. No. And I think, again, I think Billy's about control. I think Billy likes it when she has control. And she has a lot, she had past tense now, a lot of control in her relationship with this guy, with Reese. And now it's like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So this makes sense, too, that now she had this experience where she saw Reese with another woman. And she's like, you know, I'll take that risk. I'll take that high risk pregnancy.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my embryos.
Yeah.
And I'm going to roll the dice.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But that's the end of that scene. And then we go to this other scene with them where they're back at home. And, you know, it's this role reversal where Reese is going in and playing with the chickens and getting eggs. And Billy's fixing the mower. She's like, we're going to have to change the air filter here. And so then we hear Reese tells Billy, oh, I heard from Randy. I don't think this is new information for Billie Jean, I want to say, because she looked a little surprised. And she finally admits, she's like, she's overwhelmed. She admits that this is harder than she anticipated. And I was like, yeah, this is where I wrote down. She's realizing that this guy could find somebody else. That you are not the beginning and end, and that you maybe need to change your behavior. Like and this is what we've been saying. I think she's been very callous with him. Really callous with him of like, you're uncomfortable doing this, but I'm going to make you do it. And then you do it. And then finally he connects with someone and it's like, no, you know?
Yeah.
So,
she had to come back down to reality.
Yeah. She said, how did you mesh so well? Like that bugged her. Like, how did you mesh so well? Like, okay. And yeah, she asks if he likes Randy and he says, yes. He's like, yeah. So Billie Jean, what did you think was going to happen? That some woman that neither Reese nor this other woman liked at all are going to what? Get together during ovulation periods and have sex. And then this woman's going to raise this baby and never want to have sex with Reese again. And then raise this baby and then let you have time with the baby when it's convenient for you. But then she'll take the baby back. I mean, what were you thinking was going to happen?
In what world? Yeah.
I mean, you know, like as if this person's a robot to like fill in whatever need that you have. And oh, wait a second. This is a whole person with other needs.
That's what she was looking for, is a surrogate to stick around after the baby's born and help, or help around the house.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist.
No. It doesn't. No. It doesn't. So now Billie Jean wants to change the rules. She's like, well, maybe I can come to every other date. They're like, okay.
That's not going to work.
I don't know if what we see with them next week, because next week's the finale, I believe. And so, I mean, this has got to be, she's saying like, it's got to end with Billie Jean being like, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
I think,
She's going to put the kibosh on this. Let's see if I wrote down the next week. Let's see. Oh, I just wrote Reese and BJ. No details. Mm-hmm. That's helpful. Okay.
But yeah, I really hope this got BJ to realize that maybe she was taking Reese for granted and that maybe she needs to think about things differently. Sort of check the things that she has. Focus on what you have and not what you don't have.
Right. Be grateful. Again, you already have two babies. Why don't you focus on that?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is, and you have this husband that seems to really love you. I mean, poor Danny over here, the Peralta family.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't even want to have anything to do. I mean, we've got these other families where no one wants to have anything to do with them. And it's like, BJ, this guy really loves you. He seems to really, and he reassures you. He says, no, I would never do that. Like, he loves you and you have two kids and you have five embryos. You have five embryos. Yeah. And now you have someone else who's willing to carry the child. Dear God. She just irritates me. Psych Legal Pop. We'll be back after these messages.
Chicago, 2011. A cop is murdered. Police and prosecutors swear they have the trigger man. He swears he didn't do it. How far will each side go to prove they're right?
Like it's just one bombshell after another, you know, where you're like, what?
The story of a PlayStation, a brain-eating amoeba, and the relentless pursuit of justice. Off Duty, out now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Hannah Berner from Giggly Squad. Have you ever put on a bra that makes you feel like a goddess? Prepare to be obsessed with the Dream Angels Wicked Bra from Victoria's Secret, the iconic brand behind the world's most comfortable bras. And I only wear the most comfortable bras. The bestseller features an innovative sling for perfect lift without padding, and the fit is chef's kiss. Awaken your inner goddess with new colors and super femme lace embroidery. Find out why this bra has thousands of five-star reviews and counting. Shop it in stores and online at victoriassecret.com.
All right. Okay. So Davis's or Merrifield's?
Well, why don't we do the Merrifield's?
Okay. You want to end with the Davises?
Yeah. So right. we're back where we left off with Danielle crying in front of the courthouse.
God, this was so sad.
Yeah, she's kind of talking herself into this, you know, giving herself a pep talk, like, this is just what has to be done, I guess. Mm-hmm. which of course is ridiculous. And then Garrick and, I've already forgot her name.
Lorena.
They emerge, you know, mm-hmm. Mr. and Mrs. Merrifield.
Yes.
And yeah. And then we see the first scene of them, all three of them sitting mm-hmm. on a confessional couch.
Oh, yeah. This was so funny. This I thought was so good. I was like, the producers... Someone in the producers were like, "Oh, we have to show people what this is really like."
Yeah,
for that,
they'll never
for them
believe it.
Because they will never believe it because they're asking Lorena, you know, how she feels now that she's married and she's speaking in Portuguese and blah 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 blah. And the best is Garrick's in the middle, looking. He's looking at her. He's just smiling at her, looking at her like he understands what she's saying. Like mm-hmm. he knows what she's saying. And that's the funniest part. So normally it would just end there, but then we hear the translator app knowing you didn't know what she was saying. Right. You know, you had no idea until this new, and then this voice comes on. That's a robot. It's so weird. It is so weird.
And yeah. And it made me realize it's like this woman, Lorena, is very articulate and smart, and she's saying all these things. They have no idea what she's saying. They don't mm-hmm. even know that she has these thoughts or how she speaks or how, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? They don't
yeah.
even know. All they just know her as just this pretty person who kind of goes, chair, computer, sister.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's how they talk to each other.
Well, and that is why it always comes back to, I find it hard to believe that Garrick and Lorena are having in-depth conversations.
Oh,
like,
God,
what
no.
are you two
too
cannot.
Much work. With the translator app, it's too much work.
Yeah. So how are you? So you, I think it's like between a child and a parent, mm-hmm. it's like door, you know, butterfly,
hungry, night-night.
Sister, your turn, bed, sheets, wash.
I'm sure she knows those words.
Sheets, wash.
Yeah. The first thing she learned.
Yeah. It is so weird. But, you know, we don't have time for that. We've got to go have an Asian fusion meal.
Yes, this is their after wedding lunch.
And then all of a sudden the weirdest thing happens. A guy named Frank shows up. Who is this
Asian guy named Frank?
Asian guy named Frank at the Asian fusion. He's fusion. He's an Asian fusion. It's so, and he comes in and obviously he's very much a plant. It seems like he must own the restaurant or
probably
or works there or something. There's some connection to it. And he's like, oh yeah, you can, you know, you can use my restaurant, you know, give it a plug. I'll do this, mm-hmm. you know, I'll go in there and talk to them. Cause you know, it's hard out there for restaurants. Frank's got to do what Frank's got to do.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's I don't blame the man.
Yeah. And of course then, you know, polygamy, you know, but she's my wife, you know, yeah. They have to go through that whole thing. And he's like, really? Oh,
no. Oh my God. Which wife? Both?
Huh? You? Huh? You too?
Yeah. And then he brings this thing over and I swear to God, I thought he was going to present them with this statue. And I was like, oh, this is so weird. Like, why would you give them Frank? What are you doing? Why are you giving them this like statue of yours? But really, it's like to do shots.
Yeah,
so this is
like
how we're
Sake or something. Yeah. Sake shots.
Sake shots that Frank is going to pour in everybody's mouth like you guys are on spring break. It's just the whole thing is so weird. So weird. Like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever witnessed.
Yeah. And then, Danielle says that they're stronger together, mm-hmm. but she wonders how the future will look.
Yes. And then she gives us one of us, our famous looks of,
you're just now wondering about mm-hmm. this, Danielle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yes. And then we get Sam, her sister-in-law, Samantha.
Yeah, sister Samantha. She's concerned.
Yeah, like everybody else. They decide to go to lunch. And of course, Danielle's telling about what's going on and what it was like for her to have to wait outside the courthouse for 45 mm-hmm. minutes watching her now ex-husband get married to this new woman that you've now had in the country for less than 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And was it Samantha who was, she was like, I can't do this. I don't want to do this or something like that. But she's,
well, she brought up the stuff about the sleeping arrangements. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't understand why Garrick can't come to you. And you know, that's really nasty with the sheets. And,
yeah.
You know, cause you know, they're not changing those sheets out every 2 days. Sure.
Yeah. Well, and it's also exactly what they're saying, which is that, yeah, I mean, again, these two women are accommodating Garrick.
Yeah.
Like Garrick doesn't even have to leave rooms. Like he is the king of the goddamn castle.
And Danielle has to keep her toothbrush and stuff in a travel bag.
Yes.
And it's like, just buy another toothbrush.
Yeah. I thought
that
was weird.
Put one in each bathroom. What the?
Yeah. I was like, people that have divorced kids and all, you write, you have one thing here, one thing there. That I thought was so strange. Like, she's like, now I'm carrying it in a travel case. I'm like, you can't, a toothbrush is $3.
Yeah.
Like, why can't you have two? But then she has to go down there and be like, oh, hi, before you guys start having sex, let me go get my toothbrush. I'm going to go back to the sister room.
Knock, knock. I forgot my toothbrush.
I'm not looking.
Yeah, I'm out of clean underwear. I think I left some in the closet.
Okay, so then here, this is the other one, which we had talked about before we didn't know, which is that Danielle starts talking about how they're going to keep seeking.
I know.
This and they don't know how Lorena is going to handle this. But
she doesn't know? Lorena doesn't know?
No, she knows. Sorry, but she's not thrilled about it.
Oh, well,
But they haven't even got, you know, we've just gotten this far, so they haven't even broached the subject. But the other thing, too, is and Danielle's right, like, you really can't do anything. It's going to take up to 2 years for Lorena to get the citizenship. And so then I'm thinking, you know, isn't this abuse of the system?
This is a sex trafficking test.
Because
this is their plan. Lorena is going to become a U.S. citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going to divorce Garrick.
Yes.
And then they can get another K-1 visa for another wife. But again, from what I've read, I guess Lorena could get a K-1 visa to bring a woman saying she's going to marry a woman, bring her over. But Garrick's already had two. And even though only one was successful, what I read online, it's a State Department website, was that it's a maximum lifetime maximum of two K-1 visas, even if the person never comes. Like if once like they issue you, right, exactly. That was number one. Lorena is number two. So yes, I think it's abuse of the system. It's a, this is sex trafficking. This is what the two K-1 visa limit was meant to address. Is men just, you know, getting these women to come to the United States and be, you know, for sex. I mean, this is sick.
It is, because then we're back to, right, this idea of what is it that you really want? If God is speaking to you and telling you that you should have more wives, so the stipulation is she always has to be from a foreign country and the foreign country has to be Brazil. Like, no, that's the part. And I was like, so wait, you're just going to wait for her to become a citizen. Then she, then you're going to abuse the system again, get divorced again, lie in court about, right? Cause you're already liars. Cause I was then thinking, oh, they could wait till Lorena gets citizenship and then maybe Danielle and Garrick could get remarried. Wouldn't that be nice? But then it's like, no, no, no. Garrick's got to stay available for the next woman.
Right. So, for the next,
So you're just going to keep bringing in, I mean, yeah, it's gross and you're abusing the system.
Yeah.
And for someone who's, this is not, I don't know if it, are you, this does not feel like you're celebrating marriage. It feels like you are using people and you're using women.
You are sex trafficking women because it's so specific.
Yes.
You know, so specific. These young Brazilian women, you know what? There's a lot of women in the United States that are young and beautiful. Why are you doing this? It's really disturbing. And the fact that Danielle can't see this or she doesn't want to see it, she just is letting herself be used like this. It's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. It's Samantha's looking at her like, what the fuck?
Oh, Samantha is at her wit's end.
Yeah.
She is just looking at her like, just when you thought that this couldn't get any worse, you get this news. I mean,
well, and that's the other problem is that I'm sorry, I don't think Garrick could find a woman here in the U.S. to marry him. Do you know what I mean? I don't think any
it'd be
woman
pretty hard.
Remember, they had that woman from last year who was she Muslim?
Oh yeah,
she was, and she was from the U.S.
She's from like Michigan or something.
Yeah, but her background was such where there was polygamy.
Yeah.
In the family. But she, again, she had opinions and she had power. No, no, no. The only way for Garrick to have ultimate power is, you've got to keep picking these women who are young and vulnerable from other countries.
Yeah. Cause they're dependent on you. They can't just leave you and go back to their country. Yeah. They're not going to have any money to do that. I mean,
it's really gross.
Someone needs to open an investigation.
Yeah.
Because
could not believe that. I mean, I thought I wasn't quite sure if they were going to keep seeking, but I couldn't believe that they were actively talking about, well, in 2 years she'll be a citizen. And then I was like, oh, you're ready to do this all over again. You're already preparing to do this again.
Yeah. No, they have a long-term plan here. But yeah, I don't think it's going to work. But then Garrick will force Lorena to apply for a K-1 visa for another woman, pretending that, you know, she's going to, well, they will have to get married.
Yeah.
In order for her to get citizenship.
Yeah. Super gross. It's
gross. Okay.
All right. So let's talk about the Davises, because things are falling apart here in the Davis family. And Nick is done with this foolishness. I was with Nick at the end there. I'm like, yeah. Nick's like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
So do Teresa and Brandon look like they're the same age?
He looks much younger.
Yeah.
She says this is her best friend.
Of 20 years. They've known each other 20 years.
Wow.
And quite frankly,
he just looks young.
Yeah. And also he's not I don't know. I mean, I didn't hear the full conversation, but I kept thinking Brandon's kind of useless. Like Brandon's not helping her. Or not that I think that Brandon's there to tell her, like, get out of this or whatever it is, but just the advice that he gives her or the things that he's saying, it's like, none of this is, she just needs more affirmations than other people. It's like, no, Brandon, no, that's not what's happening. but yeah, they go to this pool hall because Teresa, you know, says things have been tense at home. you know, she's been healing from all these abusive relationships. And, you know, it's obviously, as we've been seeing all season long, it's affecting the family. It's creating all these problems and tension. And Brandon doesn't know Nick and the family very well. So he's there to kind of be this sounding board. But yeah, this was his big thing. He said, like, to the camera, he says, Teresa just needs more affirmations than other people. I'm like, that's not a solution.
Yeah.
That's not anything. That's like,
yeah. Well, we know that, but why? And why isn't she addressing her insecurities? You know, yeah, we don't fully know like her history, but she says she's had a lot of abusive relationships. She feels insecure next to Jenny and April.
They're more wife material. And I don't know if that's more of like, because Jenny's having a baby, like wife material, like maybe Teresa can't have kids. I don't know how old Teresa is. I don't know. We don't know.
'Cause she won't talk about it.
Yeah. But it's very funny because she talks about like, I have a lot of shame that I feel like I'm not good enough for a monogamous relationship, that I'm not good enough for this poly relationship. So she can very much speak to and say exactly like, because I was in these abusive relationships, I struggle with my confidence. I struggle with my sense of self, and that's affecting everyone else. Okay. But that's it. I just, there's something off about this because you can get this far. So you can talk about these things, but you cannot tolerate, I mean, right. But in certain circumstances, you can't tolerate certain things. I don't know.
Well, yeah, she understands that she has issues, but she's not willing to take the next step. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, really she needs to go to therapy. And
yeah.
She needs
a lot of it.
She needs to work through this. She needs help working through this. Because, you know, Nick is not going to be able to help her.
Nor should he. But he's not anyone else's responsibility.
He's trying to just talk to her just in general. Like, you know, because it's preventing the two of them from having any kind of genuine connection because she won't open up to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he tries to, he's trying to be patient with her and, I don't know. It's just a disaster. I mean, I don't know. I'm not quite sure how she got there.
Yeah.
How she ended up living there.
That's why I think that she was a friend of Nick's. I don't think Nick saw this other side of her. I think maybe she needed a place to live and they needed another, Danielle's gone and they needed another sister wife. And it was kind of like, oh, well, we're all getting along. This is good. And then now they're really seeing the extent of it. Because she also says to Brandon, she says, I'm never going to find this kind of love again. That's the other problem that you have here. Teresa, stop that. Because what happens is you keep saying things, this is so good. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy that you're going to blow it. And and now you're saying this is the best thing ever. It's like, no, it's not. If you're struggling so much in this, this is not the best love you've ever had. But she doesn't know that because and it's hard to watch, but in some ways she can articulate it. In other ways, she doesn't want to address it, but she wants to be in this relationship and she sees it so valuable and she wants to do all this stuff, but you're not willing to. I mean, it's just very strange. I really feel like there's some element, just like with Angelica and Shanae, there's some element that we're missing here.
We're missing a piece of the puzzle here. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I don't know how this is, going to end. I mean, how are they just going to have to kick her out? I mean,
probably. And she's got a kid, so I'm sure they're not thrilled about this. I think that's the other part of it too, is that Nick probably feels like, oh crap, I had this friendship with her and I probably shouldn't have gone down this road. And now we're here and we thought it was a good idea. And I don't know. I mean, the next scene that we see, because Brandon was zero help at all. He was zero help. So the next scene that we see is they're all, you know, they want to have a family meeting. They want to talk to Teresa about what's going on. The cameras are there. This is the time to do it. April's making mocktails, which is basically putting juice in wine glasses. and they're, you know, basically, and I'm with April and Jenny on this. They basically call her an energy vampire, and I'm sure mm-hmm. she is. She is an emotional energy. She is a vampire. She is probably sucks the life. And you know, every single time everybody's hanging out, you might even have people over. Maybe you're playing Yahtzee. Maybe you're having a good time with your friends. You know, she's going to bring up her being molested as a child, or she's going to bring up an abusive relationship, or she's, mm-hmm. And again, I'm not, because that's it for her. Like, this is, you know, she's just one of these
people.
That's her story. Yeah. And there's nothing more. And she's one of these people that is going to bring this up because it's the only thing that she, you know, that it's this, it's not that it's the only thing that she thinks that's special about her, but it's this big giant wound that mm-hmm. can't go away. And you're there and you start to feel insecure. So you're going to start talking about the molestation and the, mm-hmm. you know, she's stuck. She's like a teenager. She's stuck as a kid.
Or she probably just, like, after a few drinks or something, just starts crying. And then everyone's like, what's wrong? And she's like, won't talk about it. And they'll say, try to cheer her up. Whatever. So everything stops. Like,
yes.
Everything stops. And we got to pay attention to Teresa and
her stuff.
Yeah. And she's just a downer.
And also, you can't be the asshole to be like, no one cares about your molestation or whatever. You know, no one can be the person to say, like, this is highly inappropriate. You have to, like, society expects that. And that's what I thought with Nick. I was like, okay, he's really holding firm. He's like, listen, there's still groundwork that we need to do. You know, you keep questioning whether or not you're supposed to be here. And that's mm-hmm. not, you know, that's not going to work.
It's not helpful.
It's not helpful. This isn't working. The insecurity, and essentially saying, we can't reassure you every single minute of every day.
Mm-hmm.
No one can. And you got to, and this isn't going to work. No matter who we are.
Yeah.
Isn't going to work. And immediately she wants to leave. She's gone. Mm-hmm. And they're pissed, which I can understand. Yeah. Because they're like, listen, the camera people are here. We've all, taken maybe time off work. We're here. We're doing this. You told us you would stay, or you told mm-hmm. the producers you would stay. And then she's just like, she has to leave the house. She leaves the room and gets her car keys and, gets in her car. And they're super annoyed, right?
Well, because Nick was trying to break up with her, basically. Yeah, I do. And I think that she knew that. And so she's like, just got up and left. Yeah. And then she just sort of comes back like nothing happened.
Yeah. I mean, he says something about, like, they've reached a crossroads. Is that the thing that gets her to get up? And then, but then he says that she's, this is what happens. She avoids confrontation, or maybe April said this. And, And I think that, again, in the past, maybe they chased after her. And now they're like, mm-hmm. we're not chasing after her. This is ridiculous. Right. So yeah, no one is going to disrupt Nick's peace. God damn it. Nobody. He has got bigger things to do.
Yes. He's got
Vera.
Things to learn. Yeah. Things to teach.
He's got things to think about.
Yes.
He's got to teach Vera. He's got, what was it? Thermodynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever else he's got going on. So he does not have time for this. Zip zero. Yeah. All right. So what happens next week?
So next week, Yessel's home and he's pissed.
Oh yeah. This one, I was like, oh God, poor Danny. Poor Danny.
I wrote down Reese and BJ, of course, and nothing else, but we'll see them next week. Nick, the Davises, they're basically saying they need to let Teresa go.
Yeah.
Angelica, she does tell her family about the relationship. And maybe she went on this show. Maybe this was her way of coming out.
Maybe she felt like, you know what? I know how terrible they would be with me, and I'm going to put it on camera, and at least they would have to control it.
Right. Exactly.
But again, what's interesting is that if your family doesn't support you in the way that you want, they're opinionated and you're scared of them and they don't support you, then why? But it just sort of feels like, well, Shanae's no longer here, so I have to go back to my family. Mm-hmm. Again, I'd like to, like, there's nobody else. Nobody in between any of this.
Well, But like, I mean, I think there is a good chance that she did this so that, yeah, she could tell her family without them, you know, yelling at her or whatever she was afraid of.
Yes.
Oh, we'll see.
Boy, the show. So, all right. We got one
next
more week.
Next week is the finale. Okay.
And then we're done.
Last episode next week. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us to discuss this fascinating show.
It's truly fascinating.
If you would like more of us, we do have a Patreon where all of the free episodes are ad-free. And we do a weekly bonus episode where we talk about pop culture, hot topics, sometimes a little bit about our lives. And for the upper tier, we do a once a month bonus, Ask Us Anything. And we do a once a month true crime bonus just for the Patreon members. And you can also find us on all the socials. We're on YouTube. So yeah, come check it out.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye.
This message comes from Jackson. Taxes aren't something you can only think about once a year. With investments, planning for tax days year-round. Fortunately, Jackson offers tax-efficient products. Visit Jackson.com for more information on how our products can make your tax bill a little bit less painful. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
Howdy, howdy, ho, and welcome to Fantasy Fan Fellas. I'm Hayden, producer of the Fantasy Fangirls podcast and your resident lover of all things Sanderson.
And I'm Steven, your bookish internet goofball, but you can call me the Smash Daddy.
And we are currently deep diving Brandon Sanderson's fantasy epic, Mistborn. But here's the catch. Steven here has not read Mistborn before.
That's right, hey. So each week, you'll get my unfiltered, raw reactions to every single chapter.
And along the way, we'll do character deep dives, magic explainers, and Steven will even try to guess what's next. Spoiler alert, he'll be wrong.
Newsflash, I'm never wrong. Episodes come out every Wednesday, and you can find Fantasy Fan Fellas wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Hannah Berner from Giggly Squad. Have you ever put on a bra that makes you feel like a goddess? Prepare to be obsessed with the Dream Angels Wicked Bra from Victoria's Secret, the iconic brand behind the world's most comfortable bras. And I only wear the most comfortable bras. The bestseller features an innovative sling for perfect lift without padding, and the fit is chef's kiss. Awaken your inner goddess with new colors and super femme lace embroidery. Find out why this bra has thousands of five-star reviews and counting. Shop it in stores and online at victoriassecret.com.